This is the session on latency of child sexual abuse claims. So if that's not what you want to talk about, then you may have to leave. We've got Betty Chan and Andrew presenting today. Betty and Andrew are experienced actuaries from PwC in Sydney. They help clients with a range of issues in the accident compensation and general insurance space, such as pricing, reserving, portfolio monitoring, and capital management. More recently, they have applied these skills to victims' compensation and were part of the team which helped the New South Wales Government redesign the New South Wales Victim Compensations Fund. They were also co-authors for the paper Support and Compensation: Lessons from the Victims of Crime, presented at the Injury Scheme Seminar in 2013. So invite them up to talk, and we'll have some time for questions at the end.
Thanks, Sharon G. So if you've been following the news in the past 2 years, you would have seen some media coverage on the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses. Into child sexual abuse. So there's been news reports that cover the harrowing stories of abuse suffered by children while under the care of institutions and organisations such as the YMCA, the Catholic Church, and other state-run organisations such as Beth Carr Children's Home. So why should actuaries be interested in this subject? Well, not only is this a really important social issue, but there's significant uncertainty as to the potential number of claims arising from survivors of child sexual abuse. This will have an impact on governments and institutions and their insurers as the Royal Commission hands down their findings on the design of the redress scheme and potential changes to civil litigation. So Andrew and I have analysed data from Victim Services New South Wales, and we'll discuss the characteristics of child sexual abuse claims, latency in reporting, and conclude with some personal thoughts on potential implications for insurers and institutions. So I just want to introduce the Royal Commission. The Royal Commission has been set up to investigate allegations and instances of child sexual abuse by institutions such as schools, churches, sports clubs and government organisations. So there's three main pillars of work by the Royal Commission. Firstly, there's private sessions where survivors can speak directly with the commissioners to share their stories and how the abuse has impacted their lives. There are also public hearings which focus on particular institutions to identify systemic issues. And they also are conducting research and policy into prevention, identification, response and justice for victims. And due to the nature of child sexual abuse claims, it takes many years before the abuse is reported. From the Commission's interim report, it took 22 years on average to report the abuse. And for these survivors, there are limited avenues for justice. So the one with the highest hurdle is civil litigation, and that's due to a lot of factors, including statute of limitations, difficulties with finding an entity to sue due to legal structures by some institutions, high legal costs, and difficulties in proving the abuse occurred many decades prior. For some institutions, they've set up their own redress schemes, and they provide counselling, support and a modest lump sum to survivors. And these include Towards Healing by the Catholic Church. And for others, there are state-based victims' compensation schemes which are open to victims of violent crime and which include victims of child sexual abuse. And I'll just note that with these victim schemes, they include victims from both institutional settings and familial settings. And they provide counselling, assistance and a small lump sum amount. And so in New South Wales, that scheme is run by Victim Services, and we've been fortunate enough to be provided data from them to have a look at. And so this is a list of variables that we have looked at, and we'll go into some of the more interesting ones in more detail now. Firstly, we'll consider the prevalence. Now, the prevalence of child sexual abuse is very difficult to determine because it often goes unreported or it's not reported until many decades after. In 2005, the ABS conducted a personal safety survey, and they estimate that 12% of women and 4.5% of men have been sexually abused before the age of 15. And in a summary of Australian prevalence studies by Price, Robertson, Bromfield and Vassallo, they estimate the prevalence of child sexual abuse for males to be 12 to 16% and for females to be 23 to 26%. The graph on the right there shows the number of reported sexual offences from the New South Wales Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research. And you'll notice in the 2013 report here, there are around 10,000 reported cases. And the blue bars show the sexual assault offences, and the red bars show indecent assault. And from our experience in victims' compensation, around 50 to 80% of sexual offences relate to child sexual offences. So this could mean that around 5,000 to 8,000 of the 10,000 actually relate to child sexual assault. And if you think that victims are equally likely to report to the police and lodge a victim's compensation claim, then the reporting rate is around 5,000 to 8,000 on 1.6 million of the under 18 population of New South Wales. That equates to a reporting rate of 0.5%, which is very low considering the range of prevalence rates. And it highlights just the extent of the underreporting by child sexual abuse victims. Next, we'll look at the number of claims reported into the New South Wales Victims Compensation Scheme. So you'll see on this graph, we've separated, there's the darker green and the lighter green. So the darker green bars show claims which are reported within 5 years of the incident date. The ones in the lighter bar are beyond 5 years, so we'll call them late reported claims. And you'll see that there's been a steady increase in the number of claims up to 2010, and that is driven by these late reported claims. You'll also see an overall trend where it jumps up to a peak of 2010, and then it slowly decreases. And we understand from 2008 onwards, Victim Services New South Wales introduced an online lodgement system, and they expect that to have an impact on the number of claims reported. And also they suspect it's also driven by activity by legal practitioners. And in 2013, there was a change in the victim's compensation scheme, which changed the focus from a compensation focus to one of providing timely financial assistance and support. And so we suspect victim advocacy groups might just be still grappling with the new scheme and taking their time to report the claims or to explain to victims that these services are available. But if you look at the numbers, so say for the 2013 year, there are around 1,200 child sexual abuse claims reported. If you consider the offence rate or the reporting rate to police, which is around 5,000, 8,000, it shows that the utilisation of this victim's compensation scheme is also low. We've looked at the site description by claimant. And the graph here shows the proportion of claims by dwellings, institutions and unknown by lodgement year. So institutions include things such as schools, hospitals, prisons and detention centres. We've tried to separately consider the claims in institutional settings as per the remit of the Royal Commission. But the number of claims in institutions in the green bar are very low and they're relatively stable. So it could be that while the relationship between the victim and the perpetrator originated from institutional settings, the abuse may have taken place in dwellings for things such as foster care, or it could be there are more claims in private dwellings compared to institutions in the data set that we have. And as you can see, most of the incidences of abuse occurred within private dwellings. And you'll also notice in the red bar for the unknown, that proportion has creeped up from about 2011 onwards, and it's probably due to an increase in the reporting of historical claims, and due to the length of time between when the incident happened and when it was reported, it's been given an unknown site description. Now, considering the duration of abuse by these victims, So these graphs show the proportion of claims by incident, age and duration of abuse separately for males and females. So you can see most victims suffer abuse over a period of time as opposed to a single incident. And the interesting observation is that for females, from ages 12 onwards, the proportion of claims for single incidents increases. Next, we've considered the Indigenous status of claimants. There's been an increasing proportion of lodgements by Indigenous people, and we understand Victim Services New South Wales have dedicated staff to focus on improving awareness and access to the scheme for Indigenous communities, and they also go out to conduct community consultations. And another thing to note is that the Aboriginal population is around 3% in New South Wales. So you can see that the Indigenous people are overrepresented in these numbers as they sit at around 10%. And the interim report actually discussed some factors for this, with possible reasons such as lack of sex education to teach children about inappropriate touching and abuse, lack of strong cultural identity, poverty and social disadvantage. We've also looked at the geographic region where these claims come from, using the incident postcode in the data to map them to broad geographic regions, and we've calculated some claim frequencies. So you can see in the blue bars, they denote the Sydney metro area, and the purple bars denote the regional New South Wales areas. You can see that the claim frequency is higher in regional New South Wales, with Far West and Orana, which include towns such as Dubbo and Broken Hill, having the highest claim frequency. We've calculated an overall claim frequency for Sydney Metro versus regional New South Wales, and Sydney Metro is around 0.011%, and regional New South Wales overall is double that at 0.023%. In Sydney Metro, the area with the highest claim frequency was City and Inner South. We've also considered the socioeconomic status after accounting for its geographic region. So again, we've used the incident postcode and we've mapped each claim to a local government area and have matched it to the relevant index of relative social advantage and disadvantage score to that LGA. So this score summarises information about economic and social conditions of people and households within the area using factors such as income, occupation, education and health conditions. The average score is 1,000, and to the left, anything less than 1,000 indicate a lower socioeconomic status, and scores above 1,000 indicate higher socioeconomic status. And you can see in the graph there's a stark difference between Sydney Metro and regional New South Wales, with regional areas having lower ERSAD scores, so they're in areas of higher disadvantage and significantly higher claim frequency. For Sydney metro areas, the areas with the lower ERSAD scores, areas of high disadvantage, also have a high claim frequency. And I'll now hand it over to Andrew, who'll talk through the reporting patterns we've observed and our concluding thoughts.
Thanks, Betty. So this slide shows the reporting pattern of child sexual abuse claims that we've observed from the victim's compensation data. So here we've got two lines. The historical purple line, that's from claims reported between 2000 and 2004. And the recent green line, that's claims reported between 2010 and 2014. So here we can see that a large proportion of victims report their abuse shortly after the incident or as they enter adulthood. So that's looking at the left part of the chart, up until the peak at around age 18. Historically, around 60% of child sexual abuse claims were lodged before the victim has turned 25 years old. However, there are also a significant proportion of victims who only come to terms with their trauma many years later. In recent years, we've observed a larger number of claims reported associated with incidents which occurred many, many years ago. So that's looking at the right part of the chart, where the purple has increased up to the green for claims reported when the victim has already been aged over 30 or 40. Of the claims lodged in the last 5 years, in fact, 25% were lodged after the victim was aged at least 40. This shift in lodgement pattern shows how changes in societal attitudes, increases in education and awareness of victims' rights, and increased media coverage of the Royal Commission and high-profile child sexual abuse cases can result in a large number of claims reported associated with older incidents, and these claims might have otherwise not lodged. And as the Royal Commission will operate until 2017, it's likely that there will be further increases in claims reported associated with incidents many, many years ago. This chart shows the average delay from incident to report by lodgement year. So as Betty mentioned, a significant proportion of the recent burst in claim lodgements were associated with incidents that occurred many years ago. And this has resulted in an increase in the average time from incident to claim report from around 10 years, which is already a significant latency, to currently around 15 years. Here we show the reporting pattern by site description. So on the chart on the left, that's the reporting pattern, that's the historical reporting pattern for private dwellings in blue and institutions in red. And the graph on the right, that's the recent reporting pattern, so 2010 to 2014, again split by private dwellings and institutions in blue and red. So if we look at the chart on the left first, we can see that the lodgement patterns for private dwellings and for incidents occurring in institutions were historically quite similar, as the two lines are quite close together. However, if we look at the chart on the right, we can see that the lodgement patterns are quite different recently, and the recent burst of lodgements associated with incidents that occurred many years ago has been much more pronounced in the red line, so that's the institutions line. And this may be some early signs of an increase in awareness as a result of the Royal Commission. Here we show the reporting pattern by gender. And these two charts highlight the differences in reporting for male and female victims. So again, we have the historical reporting patterns on the left and the recent ones on the right. If we look at the female reporting patterns first, in red, we can see that a large proportion of lodgements are made as the victim enters adulthood at around age 18, as you can see from the peak in the red line in both of the two in both of the charts. However, for males, lodgements are made much more evenly across all ages, as you can see from the relatively flat blue line across ages 10 to 40. So finally, we wanted to just present some of our concluding thoughts. Firstly, about some of the possible drivers behind the large latency in child sexual abuse claims. The Royal Commission has surveyed victims, and some of the most common barriers for victims to disclose the cases of abuse include the victims feeling ashamed and embarrassed to talk about their abuse, feeling afraid that people won't believe them, feeling that there's no one that they can talk to, or having a feeling of guilt and not wanting others to know about the abuse. Victims might have also repressed their memories of the offence or don't understand until well into adulthood that the behaviour was unlawful. And they might also fear that the disclosure of the abuse might result in them being ostracised by their family. In addition, the victim might be fearful of the treatment of police and the justice system, and might be concerned that they don't have enough proof to show that the abuse actually occurred. And in some cases where the child was abused by a family member, victims might find that it's difficult to name an adult who is well trusted. But as we mentioned before, there has been an increase in reporting of child sexual abuse claims in recent years, and there appears to be a shift in societal attitudes which has been sustained through the work of the Royal Commission. And this has enabled some victims to feel supported enough to raise these cases of abuse which they've kept secret for many years. We also wanted to talk about some of the potential implications of the latency in claim reporting for insurers, institutions and the redress scheme that the Royal Commission is proposing. The long latency in claim reporting and changing reporting patterns means that the claim frequency is highly uncertain, as it will be difficult to use historical data to project future and ultimate claim reports. Also, as we've discussed earlier, the Royal Commission and its recommendations may continue to have an impact on future claim reporting patterns. So this all means that estimating the claim frequency will be a significant challenge in estimating the liability associated with child sexual abuse claims for insurers, institutions or the redress scheme. The low utilisation rates that Betty mentioned also mean that there might be a large number of victims who have suffered child sexual abuse but haven't come forward to report the claim, and it's difficult to estimate how many of these victims will eventually come forward. Also, the Royal Commission has yet to hand down recommendations for changes to civil litigation and the redress scheme. Currently, in accessing compensation through the courts, there are a number of hurdles that victims need to overcome. For example, sometimes it's been difficult for victims to find an entity to sue due to the legal structure of the non-government organisations. They might also have had difficulty in establishing that the organisation had a legal duty to take reasonable care to prevent child sexual abuse by their members. Another barrier includes the difficulty in identifying a legal relationship between the offender and the entity. And also in some cases, the application of the statute of limitations has meant that it's been difficult for the victim to access compensation. The Royal Commission's recommendations could remove some of these layers of defence and therefore increase claim frequency. So this is another source of uncertainty. And finally, for the redress scheme, the level of evidence required for a claim to be accepted is also a key area of uncertainty. Historically, the New South Wales scheme has accepted claims on the balance of probabilities. So that means that a claim is accepted if the evidence suggests that it is more probable than not that the incident occurred. If evidence requirements are less stringent, then this is likely to result in a further increase in claims reported. However, it's difficult to estimate the extent to which claims would increase if the evidence required increases or decreases. So the Royal Commission will be handing down draft recommendations for the redress scheme in January, and that will give a bit more certainty to the structure of the scheme. However, there's still going to be a significant level of uncertainty in the claim frequency, even if we know what the redress scheme will look like. So that's all we had for today. I'll now open up the floor to any questions or comments.
Can I ask if you are going to ask questions that you speak to the mic and identify yourself, because we're recording the session. Thank you. Thank you very much, Betty and Andrew. Does anybody have any questions?
Joseph Huang from Avant. I've got a question. Have you looked at report frequency on incident years post certain events? For example, since the Royal Commission came out, has reporting frequency increased on incident years post the Royal Commission?
As we saw earlier, maybe I'll flip back to the slide. So I think this chart shows the number of claims reported by lodgement year. So in terms of the Royal Commission, I think there's been quite a few mixed
trends in recent years. So there's been an increase up to 2010, but that was mostly before the Royal Commission. Whereas recently the decreases, that's been affected by other things such as the change in the New South Wales scheme. So it's been difficult for us to highlight exactly what happened pre and post the Royal Commission, just because of things that are happening in the New South Wales scheme. Do you have any?
And I guess also, even before the Royal Commission was announced, you know, there was a lead up in media coverage on instances where there were child sexual abuse cases, and so with the media coverage, I think that increases people's awareness of the issue, and it's just hard to isolate a particular sort of. It's not the starting date, you know, January 2013. That was when the Royal Commission commenced, but the awareness was a few years prior to that.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill Constantinides, Suncorp. Is there any evidence in what you've looked at in terms of the effect of risk management in some of the like institutions? Because like there's been over the last probably five years, there's been a lot more effort in trying to control, I suppose, risk.
So we haven't been able to look at sort of what institutions are doing differently to provide a safer environment for children. The thing is, we've used victims' compensation data, and that actually includes abuse cases which happen within family. So it could be, you know, parents, grandparents. And again, there's, you know, there's not that many sort of risk management strategies there, except for maybe community services to remove them from their homes. So it's a bit difficult to determine with the victims' compensation data. But I think once the Royal Commission hands down their final report, we'll see a lot more information on what are sort of the best practice things that organisations can do and implement to provide the safer environment.
I'll have John first and then turn yourself in.
John Draven, Swiss Re. I just wonder whether you've commented that we have already seen the impact of awareness of the Royal Commission in terms of the number of reports. I was just wondering if you would care to speculate as to whether that is something that we have seen, or something that we have seen and will continue to see but with a tailing off type pattern, or whether in a couple of years' time we're going to see a further very unprecedented spike in claim numbers.
I suspect you will continue to see a continuation of the trend. I think it was in the interim report they talked about there's still, maybe not in the interim report, I think there were some reports afterwards, the Royal Commission is still receiving sort of 41 phone calls, I think a week maybe, to have private sessions with commissioners, and that rate hasn't dropped off since the commission started. So the commission started in 2013. People are still reporting in at the same rate, and you know the commission's meant to wrap up in 2017. So given that people are still coming forward with their stories, I think as people are more comfortable with what the work that the Royal Commission is doing, and as they see sort of the findings and they can sort of see, oh, that's my story as well, then I think you'll continue to see people coming forward. And I think we have not seen the end of it yet, given sort of the prevalence rates that we've seen in some of these studies, that they're very high, you know, 4.5% to 20-something percent. So I think you will continue to see it.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. You'll continue to see further claims being reported. And I don't think that it's going to start tailing off yet either, just because the Royal Commission will continue for another few years. And also, when a redress scheme is established, more people might know about it, and it's more awareness and more willingness to come forward.
Actually, that's pretty much the same question I'm going to ask. My question will be, there is more awareness, there's more a lot of things. I believe the rates, the crime rates should be dropping on this field as well. So when, if not immediately, when are you going to see the final spike off? So you see the tailing off. And also, with all these things, in terms of large claims, I mean, as from Aon Benfield, from reinsurance perspective, do you see a increasing spark on the larger claims, or it's already starting to tail off because the larger ones, if they are aware, they already tried it?
What was your name again, sorry?
Yifan from Aon Benfield.
Thanks.
Do you want to take the next question?
I think with those large claims, with the Royal Commission, because they've had sort of legal proceedings to get institutions to explain what they did when instances of abuse emerged, I think you'll actually find that there might be more claims coming forward as people, groups of victims group together to say, well, this happened to me and this happened to us, and here's some evidence of this in the Royal Commission. And there's some very systemic issues that were identified. So I think, if anything, you'll see more large claims in the next sort of, 3 to 5 years, and as sort of legal practitioners move in that area to say, well, hey, let me help you. And I think, because of the work of the Royal Commission, you will see more of that. In terms of sort of the tailing off of the lodgement of claims, these sort of practices where they kind of remove children from their homes, I think they stopped in around 1970s and 80s. So if you consider sort of the age of the children at that time, and then you think about sort of the mortality of them, so I think there's probably another 20, 30 years before sort of it will start coming down. And we know now there's much better practices in place, and so hopefully, as these practices, as time goes on, then we will definitely see a tail off in those claims. But I think there's still many years to run for these claims.
Yeah, I don't know.
So just the person behind, and do you want to go first?
Francois Rodemeyer, QBE. You gave some prevalence rates of, I think, between 4% and 26%. Where did those come from again, and do you know how they were estimated?
So the 4.5%, I think, was for men in the ABS personal safety survey. So I think they did samples. I can't remember how many, but the 23% to 26% was the females in some prevalent studies within communities. So those samples are much smaller. They're within specific subsets of communities. So sort of looking at, I think there's Queensland ones, there's Victorian ones. I don't think there was any New South Wales ones. So they're quite specific. But if you're interested, I could send you sort of the research.
So it was sort of based on some form of census data there?
Yes, yeah. Surveys, but with a limited sample of a particular community.
David Davis, AmSPHAR Insurance. Thank you very much for the presentation and for the work that you've done in analysing some of those numbers. My question would be, was there anything in the data or in the research that you did which showed clusters of claims, so groupings of claims? Because often large proportions of the numbers of claims come from a group. And is there anything from that research which would indicate whether there's any pent-up claims out there that may come forth through the redress scheme, or actually perhaps through further class actions in the future?
I think the data we had didn't provide sufficient detail to sort of do any sort of cluster analysis. But given the nature of child sexual abuse claims, often you'll see children are abused within an institution by a single offender, and they have multiple victims. And so I think even just from reading the in the Royal Commission, you'll see there's particular cases like the Parramatta girls' home, Beth Carr children's homes. I think all the children through there was abused. So I think knowing those institutions, and I think that would be how you would find out if there's particular clusters. So read the case studies on the Royal Commission website.
We have time for one more question. Thanks.
Hi, it's Jacob Sharp from IAG. Thanks again for your presentation. Just wanted to ask you, are there any trends that you've seen in average claim sizes in the data? Do you have claim costs in the data that you've used?
We haven't actually looked at claims cost, and I think a reason for that was because there was a change in the New South Wales scheme, and so the claim size would not be that useful, sort of looking at it.
Okay, yep.
But to give you a range, in New South Wales, in the old scheme, some child sexual abuse claims could receive up to $50,000, but now with the change in the scheme, the maximum would be $10,000.
Okay, yeah.
But it would be very different from civil litigation type claims.
Yeah, and you can segment the data between civil litigated claims and...
No, so we've used victims' compensation data, so it'll be the lump sum paid within the victims' compensation scheme.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Please, Warwick, yes.
Warwick Gardner, Ernst & Young. I'm just trying to understand the information presented both in this graph, and I think it's the page before, in terms of what's defined as an offence. Does one person count as one unit in that as a crime, or if someone was assaulted multiple times, would they be counted multiple times in that information? And similarly for the next one around claims, is it one claim report per person, or could, if I was assaulted several times, would that be three or four or whatever?
Multiple offences could be within the same claim. So that's if someone got abused over a duration of period, probably by the same person. And so that would there would be an incident starting date and an incident ending date in the claim in the claims data. However, if it was someone abused by different people at different stages of their life, it would probably be two claims. Multiple offences could be either or. So that's talking about this green chart.
And the one before, the offences?
Yep, so that's offences reported to the police. So it's hard to say exactly whether it's multiple offences could be multiple reports, but I would think that if someone was abused by the same person over a period of time, it would just be reported as one offence to the police.
If they reported it once, but perhaps if they reported it several times, would it likely, because it's police data, I would have expected that to be then each time it was reported, that would be an offence.
Yeah, so every time that a victim reports to the police, it should come up in this data there. So it's a matter of whether the victims would report one incident or multiple incidents by the same person as one offence, or would they report it every single time?
And again, that sort of highlights an even bigger difference between, you know, your survey results and what might be reported, because the survey results sort of, as I understand you're saying them, it's people say, I have been assaulted during my lifetime. So, you know, that's, you know, if they'd been assaulted several times, they'd still only count as one in that sort of...
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So just like to show our thanks to Betty and Andrew, and you know, I'm sure some of you are thinking the same way as me. This is a very gruesome subject, and having to do research in this area can't be the most pleasant thing. So particularly I felt that doing some research in this area. So thank you very much, Andrew. And